The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
You had to know it was coming.
Yes, I can. Yes,
I can. It was my idea. It was your idea, because as soon as it was clear that I was down with the Rona, somebody tweeted, I can't even send it to you and sent it to me. Hey, Mark, you must be trying to emulate Mike Gallagher. And since Mike's trip through his Omicron was pretty uneventful, he then replied back and said, anything you could do, I could do better. Which is from what show?
From Annie Get Your Gun, of course.
That's right.
But of course, here we go. I mean, you got to always try to catch up to me, and you got to, heaven forbid, I get
exactly
any attention.
That's right.
I was getting the attention with COVID, my sad COVID quarantine Christmas.
Yeah,
and then you said, okay, hold my beer.
Yep.
I'll get it. Lisa
now
will get
watch
it. The
me.
Family will get it. We'll all get it. Go roaring through the Davis household like a wildfire.
But listen,
we're on the other side of it.
Yes.
As my engineer and ops manager Eric Hansen was just telling me a moment ago, he's been diving down into the Joe Rogan rabbit hole, the Dr. Malone interview, mm-hmm. which has gone viral. And incidentally, we've had literally thousands of people text the keyword Malone to our MyPillow text line, which is 800-655-6453. And we send back the link to the 3-hour Joe Rogan interview with Dr. Malone, which is riveting stuff about what I'm fascinated by is the media conspiracy with big tech, with big pharma. There's so many dots to connect there, Mark. But as Eric points out today, I mean, you know, he's hearing the other guy, Dr. McCullough, who was on with Rogan too.
Mm-hmm.
And McCullough swears if you get COVID once, you ain't getting it again. He says there's no science to back that. He says,
definitively, because I know people who've had it twice.
Definitively. He says if they say they've had it twice, it was a false positive. He says there's lots of false positives. You know, the testing is kind of weird, too, because you know how that goes. I know
what the value is of having an incredible friend who lives in a state where tests are a little easier to get, putting them in a box and shipping them to me. I know what it's like to have that kind of friend. And his name is Mike Gallagher.
Where do you get my bill? Because I'm in the COVID testing business. I'm hoarding like a fiend.
It's tremendous.
My bathroom looks like a COVID testing factory.
Got them on eBay for $500.
Oh, they're doing that here in New York.
Of course they are.
There's a lot of stores that are buying them up from the pharmacy and then reselling them for $80, $90 a pop on DoorDash or Seamless or whatever. Like liquor stores are selling COVID test kits.
That's always good. Let me have a pint of Jack and a Binax now.
Hey, come to think of it, it's not a bad idea.
I was going
to
say,
it's got some merit, doesn't it? But McCullough swears if you get it once, you're not getting it a second time.
Well,
now,
I've heard
emails from people saying, my husband got it twice. I just hope, I think we've got immunity for about 5 minutes, until Sunday.
I'm choosing to believe in it. And once, because I've got thank you, Moderna, and thank you, natural antibodies. I got both of them going through me, I'm thrilled about both. But it's funny, you mentioned the whole thing about testing. Tests have been, the first thing we needed was a bunch of tests, and they're just nowhere to be found. I brought Lisa and Ethan with me, as before, you know, any of us knew we had it, and we went to a drugstore that will remain unnamed. Because they said one per purchase. And I said, that's fine. So I brought two people with me. And I said, we're three people. Let me have three tests. And they kind of balked like I'm trying to scam the system. It's like, dude, I got three people. Do it. Come on. And it was just crazy. And do you know what we have now? I'll play a thing from Channel 8 later in the show. We have phony testing sites open because you can get one for free if you're willing to stand, you know, sit in line for an hour or more in some, you know, some areas of the Metroplex. And some people are doing that. We have phony testing sites, scam testing sites that are opening up like private sector testing sites, posing as those, charging people. And then you're gone and they're gone and they got your money and you've been scammed. How
yeah,
crazy.
Well, I mean, there, and there's also a word to the wary here. Be a little wary of being asymptomatic and taking a test, because at least in my case, and I think you saw it too. Mm-hmm. But when I first started feeling bad on a Tuesday, and I had symptoms Tuesday night, and then I had a fever on Wednesday, and I was sure I had it. I was showing a negative test,
absolutely.
And then Wednesday night, a full 24 hours after I was getting symptoms, I finally got my first positive test. Then I had positive tests for about 6 or 7 days. Mm-hmm. By about the seventh day, I finally got the negative test.
I tested negative yesterday, so thrilled. But neither you or I had to. You and I could both be walking around testing positive for a couple of months.
They don't even require it.
Which makes the positive test probably a pretty bad metric to allow somebody back to work. But your situation was exactly like Lisa's. So her sister and her fiance are in town visiting for Christmas. We got a beautiful Christmas done. And then right after that, bam, they started to feel bad. They tested positive right when they were getting ready to get on the plane and leave.
Right.
Whoops. So they ain't leaving now. They're quarantined at one end of my house. And then the following day, I test positive. I'm quarantined at the other end of my house. And there's Lisa going, uh-oh, and she's running a hospital ship. Ethan, to this day, remains a negative test. Good. But and then she starts to develop sinus infection symptoms. And all I want to do is take care of her. And it was miserable. But then on day three of this adventure, where I'm starting to get lonely in my own bedroom, I ran out of stuff to stream on Netflix.
I know.
That's right.
You don't know lonely.
You're totally right. You're totally
you
right.
Lonely?
I defer.
To my world.
I defer.
Do
you're
I
1,000.
Exactly. I get the cookie.
Sorry, I shouldn't
ahead,
have even mentioned it. But the bottom line was, but then here's the silver lining. She tests positive on day three of symptoms, and then we can all hang out together again. Ethan remains in his world upstairs. He can't come near us, but we're all fine with each other. It was the weirdest thing in the world.
By the way, I want to give a clarification from a sharp-eyed or sharp-eared Dallas-Fort Worth listener who texted me on the MyPillow text line, because I haven't listened to all the Rogan stuff. Back to the McCullough assertion. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Malone shared with Rogan that McCullough is clarifying that statement in regards to getting a second infection, because he said that before Omicron.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
that
gotcha.
Was pre-Omicron. Right.
Well,
I think
well,
Omicron
there's,
is changing
there's
the
one, there's one of 7,000 questions. In what way is Omicron different? Let's make a list. First of all, way easier to get. So yep. The notion of the vax as protecting your workplace against people getting it, that is gone. Do we have reason to believe that it'll keep you less sick? Yeah, I do. Is that a scientific peer-reviewed thing? Nope. But all the hospitals are filled with unvaccinated people, so I'm going to go with
one
that.
More vax, one more COVID note, and then we got to move on
sure,
to Ted Cruz and
oh,
Tucker
my,
Carlson
yes.
and January
yep.
6th and all that great mm-hmm. stuff that we're going to tackle. But one more headline. Katie Pavlich tweeted something out that caught my eye last night. Mm-hmm. She said, they said there's no evidence that the coronavirus vaccine affects reproductive health.
Right.
I said there's no evidence because it hasn't been fully studied.
Mm-hmm.
Today they announce COVID vaccines may briefly change a woman's menstrual cycle. But you should still get one. That's right. Go to NPR.org. Well, right. Headline, COVID vaccines may briefly change your menstrual cycle.
Right.
But you should still get one. There's a new scientific study shows that the vaccination can cause changes to the timing of menstruation.
Okay.
It also, well, Mark,
right,
there's
I mean,
a lot
I
of pregnant women who
no,
are terrified of getting the vaccine because
know,
they know it affects their ovaries and their menstrual cycle.
Right. So are you suggesting that what should be happening is upon discovery that the vaccine may change a menstrual cycle that we, you know, tell you know, women to run screaming from it? Would that be better?
Why do you go to run screaming from it?
I know that's a binary choice. I know,
no,
sorry.
but it's fascinating that people like you are.
Well,
so
no, there's only one reason I'm doing it. There's only one reason I'm doing it is because you are mocking the advice that says we're going to tell you this, but get it anyway. I mean, what strikes you as?
Why does NPR and why do the doctors say it affects your reproductive cycle, ladies, but you should still get one? How about women being able to say, you know what? I'm 6 months pregnant. I'm not real excited about having my reproductive system impacted
for
by a vaccine.
For a pregnant woman, sure, that's fine. But
there's a lot of pregnant women. There's a lot of women that want to get pregnant.
That's not about pregnant. That wasn't about the menstrual. Well, guess what? When you're pregnant, you ain't menstruating anymore.
There's a huge percentage of women who are vaccine skeptical, and this is going to reinforce
God.
That, Mark.
Great.
Well, how can you ignore that? that.
I'm not ignoring it at all, but it sounds like you are calling for, please tell me if I'm wrong, an enormous red flag of alarm to go up upon this discovery of the menstrual cycle.
I'm saying
news.
They told us this thing's been studied for years and we know everything about it.
Fair point.
And we don't.
That's 1,000% true. 1,000%.
This has not been fully studied, and that's the reason there are many people who are skeptical. You and I believe in the vaccine. My doctor, incidentally, is convinced, and I talked to him about your case too, that both of us had a relatively easy time because we were fully vaxxed and boosted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's for me. But for a young woman who says, hey, I'm concerned, and now comes a story after they've said all along, oh, no, it doesn't have anything to do. Now a major study saying that, there are temporary effects that your menstrual cycle could briefly be changed. This is in the Journal Obstetrics and Gynecology. Big, and they're still learning about this
of
thing.
Of course,
Mark.
They are. Know
That's
what you don't know.
That's
know what
about.
You don't know, and there all so much of this has been about
right,
learning on the fly.
Now let's get to last night. Ted Cruz on Tucker Carlson. You want to start? Let's start with your. Everybody knows about it by now, but you can set the table in case people don't know what happened.
Okay, Ted Cruz was in the days leading up to January 6th, and yesterday was a crap storm of some of the worst analysis. Worst hand wringing. It was Democrats
it was
at their
brutal.
Worst. And
brutal.
Maybe there were a couple of Republicans who got caught up in that as well. I never thought that one of them would be Ted Cruz, who wound up calling January 6th a violent terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. Violent? Fine. Terrorist? Mm-hmm. Here's about 30 seconds, Mike. Tucker Carlson went after him a day before yesterday and last night had Ted Cruz on.
Because the way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb. And
I don't
and
buy that.
Result,
whoa, I don't buy that. Look, I've known you a long time since before you went to the Senate. You're a Supreme Court contender. You take words as seriously as any man who's ever served in the Senate. And every word you repeated that phrase. I do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
Wow.
Now, there's a lot of stuff on social media, a lot of reaction that Ted Cruz is done. He's finished.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
He's a rhino. He's not one of us. That's ridiculous. You're right. Here's what I give credit. You know what that was last night on Tucker Carlson?
What?
That's called a win-win. That's called Tucker Carlson masterfully holding somebody who's a like-minded conservative his feet to the fire.
Right.
That's Ted Cruz. The night before, seeing Tucker calling him out and immediately reaching out to Tucker saying, hey, I want to come on your show, which is extraordinary because most of these guys, ask Lindsey Graham, most of them tuck tail and run. They don't appear on shows where they know they're going to get a tongue lashing. And you know what? Ted Cruz owned it. He essentially apologized. He said, it was sloppy. His argument, incidentally, is that for years he has called assaults on police terrorism. Now, as Tucker said, that's not terrorism. It's a poor choice of words, and it's a rare poor choice of words. But let me tell you something about Ted Cruz. If I got to pick somebody that I got to be in the foxhole with to fight radical liberalism.
Of course.
Mark Davis and Ted Cruz are on the short list.
You know what I do believe? I do believe that Ted, whom I love like a brother, got caught up in the moment, got caught up in the it became a proof of your bona fides of your revulsion toward January 6th that you'd better call it something really bad.
But this and is I a think mistake.
I think it is a mistake. It's not disqualifying.
Republicans have got to start standing up. There's people. There's 50 plus people still rotting in jail.
Yep. So,
they're starting to be called political prisoners, and I'm not sure that's not an apt description.
Yep.
These people don't get bail. They're in solitary confinement. I got a caller yesterday from South Carolina who's one of his best friends has been there since January 6th or whatever, right after, they're not seeing the light of day. Black Lives Matter rioters and people burning down buildings and assaulting cops, they're not in jail without the possibility of bail.
That's right.
They're not. And where are Republicans? You know what Ted Cruz ought to do now? And I'm going to call on him publicly to do this on the show later today at 10:05. He ought to go visit those prisoners. He ought to go to the jail in D.C. at the Metropolitan Detention
really,
Center.
Why is it that only like Louis Gohmert, Matt Gaetz, and Marjorie Taylor Greene are the ones going to visit them in the jail? Is because does everybody think that they're poison? That if you show up at the jail to ask what the heck's going on with these people, it'll seem like you're a charter member of the Proud Boys? I don't know.
And that's the problem because the Republicans have and Tucker has made this point brilliantly over and over again. The Republicans have failed on this. Republicans have gotten caught up in the moment, and Ted Cruz exemplified that. Now, let's talk about the lunacy of Biden and Harris and the rest of them yesterday. I'm a theater guy, okay? I like theater.
Yep.
I'm going to see a Broadway show tonight, in fact, here in New York. I'm going to see MJ, the Michael Jackson musical, Hold Your Comments and Hold Your Judgment.
Lord, is somebody going to play Michael? Somebody going to try to
No, there's a huge, apparently it's going to be a big hit. Whoa. It's a musical, a biopic about the life and the music of Michael Jackson.
I think that's biopic, as in biographical
I like
picture.
Biopic. I like biopic. Like, well, at least it's like not BIPOC.
No, exactly. But I offered up the lob. He delivers the overhand smash.
But Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats revealed their real agenda yesterday, that this was all political theater, when they invited the cast of Hamilton to sing a song from Hamilton on a Zoom pre-recorded call. I mean, nothing screams the seriousness of commemorating January 6th than inviting a Broadway cast to sing a show tune on a Zoom call. Are you?
I know.
You talk about cringe.
I totally cringeworthy. And they had the candlelight vigil.
Oh,
and it just. And how many times yesterday did you hear the January 6th assault on the Capitol referred to as deadly? Excuse me, what? Only one person died that day. That's Ashley Babbitt. So last question on our first 7:35 of the day about all
Welcome
of this.
Back, by
what
the way.
I am so thrilled to be talking to you. Heck, I'm thrilled to be talking to anybody. But here's the deal. So all the posturing, all the hand wringing, one of these things is true. Which one is it? Are they trying to prevent, to damage Trump so much that he doesn't run, or provoke him so much that he does?
It's a good question. They definitely don't want him to run, and I think any answer will do for them. Liz Cheney's a liar. She was asked last night by Bret Baier, is this to prevent Trump from running in 2024? And she denied that. Nobody believes that. She doesn't believe that. It's all about stopping Trump. That's why Biden put on his angry face and did his shouting, his old man, his kids get off my lawn voice.
No, but Mike, no, it was the most impactful, consequential speech of his presidency.
Brilliant. Speech. It's his best speech to date. I mean, I wonder how many times I've heard them now scream that his speech is the best speech to date about nine times so far.
Yep.
And trust me, ain't none of them any good. And that one was one of the worst. It was, in fact, back to Tucker for a moment, he wouldn't even play excerpts from the speech because he said it was so weird and so awful. He's right. It was weird and awful. And Kamala Harris, comparing this to 9/11, what a disservice.
No,
what a
disgrace. That's not just a stupid thing to say. That's an offense to the people who died at Pearl Harbor, an offense to the people who died at 9/11.
Amen.
It was obscene.
Man, well, I'm glad you're back. All right. Well, happy Friday. Now I can go into the weekend and try to avoid the crazies here in New York. Some snow today, so I got my boots on. Back to Florida next week. But every single day, you and me at 7:35.
All is right with the world. Mike Gallagher will be here for you at 10 o'clock as soon as we're done, right here on 660 AM.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.